Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you redeemed this morning? Has Jesus Christ broken the chains from you? It's an exciting day. An exciting day. Why? Because the Lord has made it. The Lord is awesome. There is no God like Him. He is amazing, church. He has redeemed us. He has broken the chains from us. He is Jesus Christ. There is no stronger tower than you could ever put your trust in than Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord this morning. I could say that all this morning because He is worthy of all of it, church. He is. He is. Amen. Amen. I hope you're excited to be here this morning. I hope you loved worship. I loved worship this morning. Great songs. Great songs. I hope you worshiped with all your heart this morning. I just want anyone who participated in the auction at all, whether you donated money, whether you helped out in any way, I just want you to stand up. Just stand up. I just want to thank all of you guys for doing what you guys did. But I think everybody who stood up knows it was only by God. Only by God. Listen to me, church. Only by God. Exactly what Phil Fisher said. I don't think there was a person in that room who thought we were going to even hit the $15,000 goal. God continues to show us that He is in charge. That He provides over $22,000, church. There's not very many people in here. Over $22,000. That's how big our God is. And He is much bigger than that. I want to share with you something that happened on Friday. We got a $10,000 grant. Praise the Lord. Listen to me, church. We don't deserve any of it. But wow, His grace and mercy abounds more and more every single day. He does immeasurably more than whatever we ask, church. Don't take that for granted this morning. Don't take it for granted that the work that He continues to do in this church. Don't miss it, church. Don't miss it. You might miss out on a blessing. You just might miss out on a blessing. I love this message. This is right where my heart is this morning. We're going to be in Ezra chapter 3. Never preached out of the book of Ezra before. I love the book of Ezra, though. A lot of great, awesome things in there. I want to read this psalm, though, first. Psalms 95, 1 through 7 says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all kings. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care." Amen, church. The flock under His care. We have much to be thankful for in this church. Much to be thankful for. And you have much to be thankful for as a believer in Jesus Christ. You have everything to be thankful for. You have nothing not to be thankful for. You have life everlasting if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Life everlasting. There's nothing not to be thankful for in the life that we live. For what Christ has done for us. Listen to me, church. He is the one who provides. He is the maker of all things. The verse in Psalms 90-95 says, listen to me closely, "For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all kings." Above all kings. Above all kings. "For the sea is His, and He made it, and His hand formed the dry land." Listen to me, church. New Life Fellowship, guess what? It's His. It's His. New Life Ministries, guess what, church? It's His. And I'm so glad it is. I am so glad that all these things that are here right now are Christ Himself. They're His and only His. I pray that we always give Him the keys to all the buildings. To all the buildings. I'm excited today, church. I'm excited. But there are many things we don't thank Him for. we forget. Life gets busy and busy and busy, and we often forget what God is doing. We often miss it. We often don't see it. So I want to ask you this question this morning. When is the last time you've given thanks to God? When's the last time you lifted up your hands to the Lord? When's the last time you shouted amen? When's the last time you thanked Him for your salvation? The Word says He's the rock of our salvation. He is our foundation. He is everything. When is the last time that you've thanked Him for what He's doing? Not only here in this church, but listen to me. He works in your lives every single day. When you don't even realize that God is continuing to work every single day. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 3. I want to give you a little bit of context here so we understand what's happening. The Israelites, they've been captured by the Babylonians. They've been in captivity for about 50 years. And now the king of Persia has taken over, conquered King Nebuchadnezzar. He's taken over and he gives the Israelites an option to go back home. Not everybody goes back home, but some of them go back home. Some returned and stayed. This is important, church. They're going back home. They're going back to the promised land. Let's get here in chapter 3, verse 1. When the seventh month came, the Israelites had settled in their towns and people assembled together as one in Jerusalem. This is the first time they're assembling back together as one in Jerusalem. They're about to rebuild the temple. This is an important thing, church. Then Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and his fellow priest of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his associates began to build the altar of the God of Israel to sacrifice burnt offerings on it, in accordance to what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Despite their fear of the people around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings onto it to the Lord, both the morning and evening sacrifices. Then, in accordance to what is written, they celebrated the festival of the tabernacles with the required number of regular burnt offerings, the new moon sacrifices, and the sacrifices of all the appointed sacred festivals of the Lord, as well as those brought as freewill offerings to the Lord. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense to those of you who build. Why on earth would they build the altar first? They don't even have the foundation set. They build the altar first. This is like at the men's house if we decide to furnish it, but we don't even have the walls up yet. That doesn't even make any sense. Why would they build the altar first? There's not even any walls yet. But this is important. Listen to me closely, church. God is our first foundation. This is what the Israelites understood, that God must be first in everything that we do. God is worthy of all of our sacrifices. This was their act of worship, them sacrificing all these different types of sacrifices. This was their act of worship because, listen to me, they are grateful to God that they're back in the promised land. They're back home. They get an opportunity to build the temple again. This is an amazing piece, church. Listen to me closely. We build all things on the foundation of Christ. All things, it doesn't matter what you do, it ought to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He must be first in your life. If He's not, it's not a good thing. If He's not first in your life, if He's not the first priority in your life, it's not a good thing. But why would you build all things on the foundation of Christ? He is the strongest foundation. He is a strong tower. He is the strongest foundation in your life. The Word says not to build your house on the sand because it will waste away, but build your house on Jesus Christ, for it will never waste away. Never waste away. If you have Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. You heard me say it already, church. It can't be taken away. That foundation is too strong. Church, did you hear me? Too strong. Too strong. The foundation of Jesus Christ. The Israelites, they understood that we have to build all things, even the little things, even the small things we do here in this church, or the small things you do in your life. You have to build them on Christ, or they'll waste away. there'll be no more. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. They understood who put them where they're at, who brought them back to the promised land. I hope today we understand this, church, who put you right where you're at. It was Christ. It was Jesus Christ. It was God. Verse 7, then they gave money to the masons and the carpenters and gave food and drink and olive oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre so that they would bring cedar logs by sea to Lebanon, to Joppa, as authorized by Cyrus, king of Persia. In the second month of the second year, after their arrival at the house of God in Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the rest of the people, the priests and the Levites, and all who had returned from captivity to Jerusalem, began to work. They appointed Levites 20 years old and older to supervise the buildings of the house of the Lord. Joshua and his sons and brothers of Kadmiel and his sons, descendants of Hodaviah and the sons of Henadad and their sons and brothers, all the Levites joined together in supervising those working on the house of God. This is important to know. They're trying to do their best to get the temple as best as they could of what it used to be. Because when King Nebuchadnezzar came in, he destroyed the temple. It was in ruins. He destroyed it completely. So this is important. And I think it's kind of cool. They get the cedar logs from the same people that Solomon's temple was built out of. They offer their goods the same way. They're trying to do their best to get it to look as beautiful as Solomon's temple used to be. And listen to me. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of work that the Israelites have to do to rebuild the temple. And listen to me, church, there's a lot of work here. There's a lot of things that have to be done here. Can we be thankful just to be able to work and serve God this morning? There's a lot of work that needs to be done here. And there's still a lot of work here to be done. And listen to me, that will never change. Never. I know that sometimes a scary thought. But I praise God that the work is never done. That the work is never done until I die, I breathe my last, and I'm in the presence of God. The Word says we see dimly, dimly through a mirror. But when Jesus Christ returns, we see the full picture. We see the full glory of God. I hope you're looking forward to that day. But listen to me. There is a lot to be done in this church, but I don't want us to miss this. There's sometimes a lot of work to be done in our own lives. We can get so busy and caught up with everything going on around us that we forget to work on our own temple. The temple of the Holy Spirit. We forget to work on the one who lives inside of us. Sometimes we harbor sin and we harbor the bad things of life because it's just too busy to take care of it. You've got to take care of the house. The house of the Lord. This is important, church. And listen to me. It is so easy to lose track of what the Lord is doing when all you're worried about is what's next and what's going to happen next. Don't miss out on what God's doing today. Don't miss out what He's doing today. I got to say it again. He raised over $22,000 and He gave us a grant for $10,000. Why is that? What's that for? To advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. The gospel of Jesus Christ, to help the needy. Why would you help the needy? For the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't forget it. And don't get caught up in the work so much that you're not caring about your own sin in your life. It's hard to be a good servant. Listen to me, church. It's hard to be a good servant with sin in your life. Completely separates. Sin separates us. Hurts our relationship with Jesus Christ. This is important that we take care of it, church. It's important that we take care of the temple. The temple. This is important. Let's go on. This is, here I go. I love this. I love this, church. Pay attention. Verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, and the priests in their vestments with the trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord, "He is good. His love towards Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Be thankful because He is good. God is good. We're not good. He is good. And listen to me. I love this. I'm sure they kept saying it over and over and over again. He is good, and His love towards Israel endures forever. Listen to me, church. I'll change it just a little bit. He is good. His love towards New Life endures forever. His love towards His children endures forever. Did you hear me, church? Forever, church. Endures forever. He is good. There is no one like our God. There is no king who is like our God. There is no Lord who is like our God. He is Lord of lords, and He is King of kings. Are you happy you serve the one who is good, who endures forever, who loves like no other, who sacrificed His Son so that you have a place in heaven, so that you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness that you can't obtain, but is given by grace. Only by grace. Praise the Lord this morning. He is good. And listen to me, I love this. You don't see the people say, praise us for what we did. Praise us for what we did. No, they say, praise the Lord. With thanksgiving. Praise the Lord, because it's not about New Life. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's about God, because He is good and His love towards us endures forever. Church, come on. Are we not in the house of the Lord? Can we not say an amen? Here we go. It's not about us, but we ought to give praise and thanks together. This is important. The Israelites here, they did it together. We ought to praise and give thanks to God for what He's doing here at New Life together. It shouldn't only be 5 people. It should be the whole congregation. Because He is worthy of it, church. He is worthy of it. Why do we praise God together? Well, here's a simple one. We're commanded to in the Word. We're commanded to be unified together, to praise God, to worship God, to pray to God. All this together. Why? We're a family. We're the body of believers. We're His flock. We're His flock. Are we okay with being the flock? Are we okay with being sheep and Jesus Christ being the shepherd? Come on, church. Amen. I praise that He is my shepherd, that He leads me. He leads me down the path. And listen to me. This is another part. He listens to us. Think about all the things that He does in your life. And know this. He listens. God hears your praises. God hears your prayers. He listens. He hears the cries at night, because that's the Father that we serve. He listens to us. So when you understand that He listens to us, sometimes it produces the ability to praise Him all the more. That He actually hears you when you say, "Thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for what you're doing at the church that I serve in. Thank you for what you're doing in somebody else's life. It's not all about us all the time. Thank you, Lord, for doing something with somebody else. We ought to rejoice with one another. We ought to mourn with one another." And listen to me, when a group of believers, when the body of believers decides to praise and worship together, it is powerful. It is powerful. When we come to one accord and we praise the Father in heaven, it is powerful. It is extremely powerful, church. Extremely powerful. I love this piece here. It says, "And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." We do a lot of ministries here, but I want to remind you of this, and I love that God showed me this in this passage. We should give thanks to God at the start, not just at the finish. We should give thanks to God for what He's about to do, not just what He's done. The Israelites here, they praise and worship God. The foundation was the only thing that was laid. That was it. they praise the God. They praise God at the start. Know that God will continue to do a good work in you all the time, if you're willing. If you're willing to let God to work in your life, listen to me. He's worthy to give thanks to at the start, not just at the finish. This is important. Leaders, I want you to listen to me closely. If you lead anything, it doesn't necessarily have to be here. If you lead anything, if you can't give thanks, why would you expect the people who follow you to give thanks? If you can't even give thanks for what God is doing in your life, why would you expect the people who look up to you to give thanks at all? People need to hear the praises of the children of God. If you're a leader in this church, I hope you're giving thanks to God for what He's done. I hope you're giving thanks for what He's going to do. At the start, we haven't opened up the men's house. I hope we're giving thanks to God for what He's doing right now with it. Not just when it's finished. And listen to me, church. It will be finished. And we better give thanks when it is. Because listen, we ought to be grateful for what God is doing. We ought not to forsake what He's done with us. Ever. Because He can't take it away. He gives and He taketh away. And listen to me. He's God, and He can do that. He's in control, and there is no one better to be in control but God Himself. Verse 12, here's an interesting piece. Not super related, but I want to talk about it because I know if I don't, I'm going to have people come up to me and ask me, what's up with verse 12? Verse 12 says, but many of the older priests and Levites and the family heads who have been seen, who have seen the former temple, wept aloud, when they saw the foundation of the temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. Now, why are there people crying? So you have this awesome, great thing that the foundation was laid. Now you have some of these older former family heads who are weeping for they knew what the former looked like. This is important why we know Scripture. In the book of Haggai, chapter 2, Haggai is prophesying to these people right now. And he's saying, I know there's some of you who have seen the older one. And you're upset because it doesn't look anything like the Solomon, the Temple of Solomon. They're upset about it. They're upset because it's not as glorious as what it used to be. But this is what Haggai tells them. This one, the one that they're laying right now, will be even more glorious. Even more glorious than the former. Every time God does something here, it gets a little better. Every time He adds a ministry, it gets a little better. God becomes even more worthy of praise for what He's doing. This is important. I think that's an interesting piece. Verse 13, let's go. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. People should be able to hear your praise. You shouldn't just praise God in your spirit, in your heart, silently. You should do that. But not only that, people should hear the shouts of the people of God. We should be excited about what God is doing. People need to hear the thanks and praises of God's people. Listen to me. Why? Because it produces hope. When the people of God are thanking and praising Him for what He's doing, there is hope. There is hope that God is still doing something. God is still worthy of working in a person's life. He is still worthy, church. The gospel needs to be proclaimed. Everywhere we go, we ought to be thankful every single day for our salvation. Why? Not only for gratitude for what God has done, but so that my brother who doesn't know Christ knows that God is powerful. Know that God is the one who saves. Know that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. This is our important things to know. I want to share with you something. Never be ashamed of what God is doing in your life. Never be ashamed to say it to somebody. I'll share something I shared with Phil on the podcast. When I was about 10, probably 11, I don't remember. I used to hate this one thing at Thanksgiving. We're going to go around the room and we're going to say one thing we're thankful for. I was like, what do I have to be thankful for at 10? What do I have to be thankful for at 11? I dreaded that. I was like, I got to come up with something. Oh, no, that person said what I was going to say. But listen to me now. I have so much to be thankful for. I have so much to be thankful for. And I hope if you have an opportunity at the Thanksgiving table to say something you're thankful for, you point to the one that you're thankful to. You point to God, the Father, Jesus Christ. Because listen to me, there might be someone at that table who doesn't know Jesus Christ. There might be someone at that table who thinks God will never work in my life. You give thanks to God. You give thanks to God, not just on Thanksgiving, but I pray that you can at least do it in front of your family and friends. Give thanks to God because people need to know that God is still moving. God is still working. God is still saving people today. He's still doing those things. We ought to give thanks. And maybe you're like, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Well, listen to me. I'm going to be hard. Think again. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, think again. If you say, I don't have anything to be thankful for, think again. Because like I said in the beginning, you have everything to be thankful for. You were once a slave to sin. But Christ broke those chains of sin and saved you. You were once a child of wrath. But he made you a child of God. You had a place in hell. But he gave you a place in heaven. He gave you an inheritance. He gave you spiritual gifts. He gave you the Holy Spirit. You have everything to be thankful for. Nothing to be unthankful for. Church, I gotta keep saying it. Because it's just one of those days. It's just one of those days. He is an awesome God. There is no one like you, like him. There is no one who saves like him. He is the deliverer. If you have battles in your life, we sung the song. See a victory. For the battle is already won. Church, the battle is already won. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Colossians 3:15 through 17. This is an amazing piece. Just a short little piece here. I want you to just think about it to yourselves. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members, as one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Give thanks, church. Give thanks to the Father. Because listen to me, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. It is all about Christ. It is all about Christ. Give thanks because he is worthy of it. Give thanks for what he's done because he's given us the peace of Christ. A peace that transcends all understanding. He's given us a hope, a living hope. I'm always going to say it as I get up here, church. You've heard me say it. The gospel of Jesus Christ will always be preached. He is our living hope. If you have no hope, he is the hope. Church, he is the hope. Listen to me. It is all about Christ. Everything you do should be about Christ. Because he's that amazing. He is that amazing, church. God is so good. He is so good. He is so good. And listen, he does immeasurably more than whatever we ask. We know that here in this church. We know we asked for 15,000. He gave us 22. 10,000 on Friday. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about Christ. It will always be about Christ. It will never not be about Christ. For what he's done for us. The children of God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, You have everything. But listen to me. Listen to me closely. If you don't have Christ, you have nothing. You have nothing without Jesus. The Bible says that you are going to be separated from God. A hell. Horrible place. Not because God is putting you there, because of sin in your life. And the only way to deal with sin, listen to me closely, is the one who washes it white as snow, who washes every stain from us, and that is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The world will tell you many different ways, but I'm telling you today from the Word of God, Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. The only way to the Father. He is so good, and He continues to show us it right here. Church, listen to me. I don't want to be a part of any other church because God is working right here. Don't miss it, church. He's working right here, and He shows us who He is every single day. We think He might be this way, but He shows us, I am much greater than this. Don't you put God in a box. Don't you put God in a box. Because He'll show you He's much bigger than that box. He'll show you. He will show you. I want to read one of my favorite psalms. I just do. I think it's important. Psalms 116. Listen to it closely, church. If you're a believer, please listen to it closely. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because He turned His ear to me. I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangle me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I will overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I call on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unworthy. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I say, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all of His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of the salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord and give thanks. Be grateful for what God is doing now and what God is going to do, because He will continue to work in your life. Did you hear me? He will continue to work in your life. I want to ask you the question one more time. When is the last time you've given thanks? When's the last time you've raised a hand? When's the last time you shouted amen? He is worthy of all of it, church. It's a repetitive message. Because it should be. Because He'll always be worthy. He'll always be the greatest foundation in your life. He'll always be your Savior. He'll always be the one who delivered you. He'll always be the one who redeemed you. Thank God we're redeemed. Thank God for His grace and mercy. Thank God for His compassion. Thank God for His justice, His righteousness. Thank God that He doesn't play favorites. Thank God He is who He is. He is God. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And thank God for what He's doing here at New Life. Let's stand.